Amen. All right. Have your Bible. Let's look into Ephesians chapter 5, some familiar scripture. I was kind of looking at this the other day and thinking about it and meditating on it and trying to get the Lord to help me understand what I need to talk about. And I hope he'll do that this morning. I'm trusting he will. But I think it's a lesson that we need today as God's people, and especially in the time we live in. Boy, I tell you, don't everybody agree we're living in bad times, perilous times. Sometimes I really get discouraged, disheartened, looking around and seeing what's going on. But then, Brother Rose, I know in my heart that we're not to look on those things, but we're to look what's set before us as God's people. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. I want to read in verse 14, chapter 5, Ephesians. And look at something I think maybe might be just a little bit different in a way. I hope it'll be a blessing to us today. And I hope that it'll get us to thinking in the right. Not saying everybody in here is not thinking right, but it's easy to get her thinking messed up as believers. And like I said, when you get to looking around, things going on around us, a lot of times we get messed up in her thinking. And but anyway, let's read this. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth." I want you to notice just a few words in this as we read it. Notice the word awake. "Thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Again, notice the word wise. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We agree with that. That's what we've been talking about here. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore be you not unwise." Talked about wise, talking about being unwise. "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is." I want to talk about the will of the Lord for a few minutes. I've heard people make statements like, I feel like I'm in the perfect will of the Lord. And I appreciate that. There are people that are, or feels that way, or thinks they are, or whatever. And that's where we are to be. But evidently, there's a danger of getting out of the will of the Lord, or maybe getting crossed up, because it writes a lot about that in the Scriptures. Then in verse 18, a familiar verse in the Bible, we about all quote it. And I want to kind of look at this a little bit and kind of get my thought there. And it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I know the way we look at that and the way we think about it most of the time, I want to look at it a little bit different way. What does drinking do to our mind? Well, sure, it messes it up, don't it? And I think the thought behind this is not so much you can take this scripture and try to talk about where you ought to drink strong drink and all that stuff. I don't believe it has anything to do with that, Brother Lowell. I believe it's talking about something else. It's talking about our mindset. And our mindset getting messed up and using that strong drink or alcohol to get the point across to us. I never was no big drinker, but I used to fiddle around with it a little bit back when I was young, and I would say most of us probably have. I fool around with enough to know, Brother Ralph, what it'd do to you. It mess your mind up, mess your thinking up. And I think that's what he's wanting to see here. And he's talking about the will of the Lord, messing our thinking up concerning the will of the Lord in our life. Now, this, what I'm looking at here and what the Scriptures are looking at, I think, is a general view of a believer's life. Now, I know the Lord can, you can have a specific calling on your life, as to where it be a preacher or whatever. I know people have that. And that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the general conduct, general walk of the life. And it gives us a lot of different things here. I'm going to look at a few of them before we get into really what I want to look at, the main thing I want to look at. But it gives us a lot of things here in this surrounding verses of this scripture that will direct us in the right way of the will of the Lord. I'm speaking in general for a believer, a born-again believer, a person who's really been saved. It gives us a lot of things. Now, if you look back in chapter 4, I'm going to just touch on a few of these things. In chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man with truth." On that same note, in verse 4, chapter 5, it says, "Neither filthiness or foolishness, talking." And so we know this is things that we all know as Christians that we ought to do. The will of the Lord in a Christian's life is for us to be honest, Brother Lowell. We're to be truthful. We're to be honest in our dealings, day-to-day dealings with other people. Speaks well of a person when they're an honest person. A good testimony is when somebody's talking about you and they say, "Brother Lowell is a good, honest man," or anybody else. That's what I would, Brother Larry, that's what I want somebody to say about me. I hope they would say that. Now, there may have been things in my life down through the years that I've done that would have them to think otherwise. And you all know how that is. We're none perfect, and we all mess up from time to time. That's the way we're made. We still have this old flesh to contend with. And it's, the Bible says the flesh is enmity against God. And it's a weight that we have to carry around with as believers. But we need to have an honest report as a believer. As a member of Bible Way Church, Brother Fain, we need to have an honest report. Ought not be otherwise. We ought to strive for that. Then verse 26 says, "Be not angry." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away." Attributes of a believer. It don't say you're not going to get mad. It says just don't let the sun go down on it. We're to control. We're to be a controlled person as a believer. So, be not angry. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I think we all understand that. Neither give place to evil, verse 27. Talking about some things we need to do to be in the will of the Lord. These are things that the Lord would have us to do, that we be in the will of the Lord, be a Christian like we ought to be. Boy, I like verse 29. This is, I guess, a pet peeve of mine. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." What do you think about that? Huh? Well, it follows up on it in verse 4. "Neither filthiness or foolish talking." Wow. That's a modern day term, wow. That's what everybody's using anymore. Brother Thurman, we ought not be saying things we ought not say. We ought not be going around telling off-the-wall jokes as a believer. I'm speaking to ladies and gentlemen. It behooves all of us to conduct ourselves as believers. Somebody's watching and somebody's listening. And it tells us, Brother Rose right here, real plain. We ought to be honest. We ought not get angry. And I think one of the biggest things that I know of, just intermingling with believers and people that I know, and is letting our mouth go where it ought not go. Lord, be real careful about that. A lot of people say what you say is what you are. I don't know if that's 100% right or not, but I'll tell you what, it goes a long ways. Lord, be careful what you say. Lord, not use vulgar language. And when I'm talking about vulgar language, I'm not talking about the really, really bad stuff. I'm talking about the little stuff. We're not going to do that real bad stuff, but we might do the little stuff. By the way, the little stuff just as bad as the big stuff. Be careful what we say. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. Boy, this is hard for me. You know we're all made up different. You understand that? We're different people. What might be hard for me might not be a bit of trouble for you. And what might be hard for you might not be no trouble for me. I'm just saying we're made up different. We have different makeups. This is one of my weaknesses, I guess. Be kind one to another. I've seen people that I just perceived to be the kindest people ever was. Brother Rose. And there's something about that. You know, there's something about that that kind of draws you to them. I wish I had more of that. That's something I need to work on. Have you got anything you need to work on? Now, I'll stop here and say this. I know this is a lesson as Christians that we don't like to hear. We don't like to hear nobody tell the truth on us. Amen, Brother Lowell. But it is the way it is. We need to adhere to these things to be in the will of the Lord. Well, I don't like too many on this. We get on the other. Verse 1, chapter 5 says, be ye therefore followers of God. Verse 2 says, walk in love. Our walk is very important. And chapter 4 and verse 10 says, walk worthy of our calling. Verse 6, and this kind of gets into what I really want to look at the rest of this morning. Let no man deceive you. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's pretty plain. It don't say, you know, don't mess around with it all the time or just dabble in it or anything, but it says, have no fellowship. I want to look at this thought about, get back to the be not drunk, be not unwise. I want to look at those things a little bit. I'm convinced that we're living in last days and perilous times. I believe we'd all agree with that. A lot to be said about that in the scriptures. It's very important that we keep our mind and our thought where it ought to be. All these things we mentioned this morning has to do with that. But I think there's an attack today on the believer's thinking and mind, and as a result of that, Brother Lowell, I believe people in the faith have drifted. There's an old song, we've drifted too far from the shore. We have drifted too far from the shore. Now, Paul said in I just, some of these scriptures I was familiar with and thought of, I just wrote them down and went back and looked at them and studying this morning. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, you know, the church of Corinth was messed up. We taught on that here 2 or 3 weeks ago. The reason they was messed up and the problem they had is their thinking was messed up. Well, the reason we're messed up today in the church and the problems we're having is because our thinking's messed up. And Paul wrote this to that church. He said, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, I fear that your minds might be corrupted. James said this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Talking about our thinking. For instance, I just thought about this as I was talking. For instance, say we have a doctrine in the scriptures, Brother Rose, and we know exactly what it means, but we might deviate from it some to get along with somebody else maybe, or maybe not to disagree with them. And I don't think you are to argue over the scriptures. But I don't believe you ought to deviate from them either. And I don't think you ought to compromise in the truths of the scriptures. Keeping our thinking straight. It's very important in the time that we live in. Paul said, this know also, in the last days, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he goes on to mention several different things in the next few verses. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despisers of those who do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Sad to say, all of those things have crept in the church. He wasn't writing to the unbeliever, he was writing to believers. And you can imagine it more so today than it would have been then. We're living in the last days. And he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. When I get to thinking about where we're at and I hear people say things, I don't watch much preaching or anything like that on TV. Occasionally I will turn it on, and most of the time when I do, I find out, Brother Rose, that there's 9 out of 10 of them way out in left field somewhere. Then I think how many people sit and watch that stuff. And after a while, you know what? The way our mind works, I'm talking about our mind up here. You know how it works? You watch that after a while, next thing you know, you'll be kind of taking that side. We are creatures of habit. That's why it's important for us to go where we ought to go, say what we ought to say, and do what we ought to do every day. If you don't, your mind get messed up. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I think what he's saying, if you're not careful, you go to dabbling in things that you ought not be dabbling in. First thing you know, your mind's messed up and you're double-minded. When you get double-minded, you're unstable. What's going on in the church today? Unstable believers. Minds gets messed up. They start compromising on the cardinal doctrines of the scriptures. Well, maybe this is not really that important. It is that important. What I'm trying to tell us this morning is we need to be sure and understand what we know. Need to get founded in the scriptures and in the cardinal doctrines. And I'm not saying we have to agree on everything with everybody. We may not be right about everything, but I'm going to tell you one thing. This is right about everything. I'm not saying the Baptist is right about everything, but this book is right. We need to understand what it says, what it means, get established in it, because get ready. It's coming. You ain't seen nothing yet. Our minds messed up. I think that's what Paul's talking about here when he says, don't get drunk. Don't get drunk, not on alcohol, but the things of the world. He's using that for an example to show us that when you do that, your mind gets messed up. Your thinking's not right. And when your thinking's not right, you're not right. And when you're not right, you're not in the will of the Lord. Few other places. I don't know why I make these things. It ain't doing no good much. I can't follow it. I done got it all messed up, Brother Rose. Well, anyway, how do we keep our mind straight? Well, I do know this. In Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is, said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? That means that we are to think like he did. How did he think? Well, I'll let you decide. You get in here and read it. Find out how he thought, how he operated, how did he walk. He was the example for us. See what he done. See how he thought. I know one thing. I know what you'll find. He always thought right. Everything he ever thought was right. Everything he ever done was right. And that's the reason he said, let this mind be in you. Just a few verses on over in the same book of Philippians, chapter 4, I believe it is. He said, finally, brethren, a good way to get our thinking right. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, listen, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Does the devil do y'all like he does me? I'll be sitting around and doing pretty good, brother. And it's all of a sudden. All of a sudden, oh, nasty, dirty thoughts come in my mind. Am I the only ones like that? Or is anybody else in here like that? Sometimes I'll be praying and the devil will try to slip something in on me. I just kind of pulling your leg. I know how we are. We're all like that. But think on these things. Good things. There's a danger of our minds getting messed up. There's a danger of us getting crossed up. You know why we're still here? As long as you're here, there's going to be a danger of that. Thank God one of these days, Brother Rose, we won't have to worry about it, but for the time being, we have to deal with it. And as a teacher or a preacher, my primary responsibility is, and of all preachers and teachers, lay people in the church, and not only them, but just ordinary Christians, everyday Christians. Our responsibility is to relay that to one another, encourage one another, because that possibility is always looming out there for us. Don't get messed up. I was thinking earlier and just now, how many Christians, I mean good people, can you just, you know, readily in your mind think about that got crossed up, got messed up. You know what happened to them? Their thinking, their mind got messed up. I say it is of the most importance for us as God's people and believers to keep our mind straight. Th- Think on these things. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's all kind of negative, I guess. And rightfully so. I just thought about a place, and I marked it, I believe, when we go over here. Apostle Peter, writing to the church in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. He said, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Then he dropped on down there, and in verse 5 he says this, "For this they," speaking of these people he's talking to them about, he said, "For this they are willingly ignorant." Then verse 8 drops on down there in the same chapter, and he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant." Everybody know what ignorant means? I guess, Brother Ralph, that's just a little bit past being dumb. Don't be ignorant. Spiritually speaking. Now, if you're ignorant, worldly speaking, people look at you and smile and think, "Boy, he's a good one." But if you're ignorant, spiritually speaking, I just have a feeling that the Lord might be a look at us and say, "We're willingly ignorant." I don't want nobody to consider me as willingly ignorant. Do you? That's what he said here. "But beloved, be not willingly ignorant." And he goes on to talk about last days and things like that. It's a possibility that we can do that. We can stray. We can get messed up, get our minds and our thinking wrong. We have to guard against that daily. Pray, "God help us, Lord, to keep my mind straight." I thought about, it's kind of off the trail a little bit to this, but kind of has to do with it. I used to go to the nursing homes a lot, and if everybody in here has been, they know what I'm talking about, and I'd see people, you know, over there that they didn't even know who they was, didn't know where they was at. Their daughter, husband, somebody come in, didn't even know him, Brother Rose. I always thought in my mind, you know, we don't have a choice. But I always thought in my mind, in my older days, it don't have to necessarily be older days, but I always thought, you know, if I could have a choice, I'd rather have cancer or a heart attack or just about anything else than to have that. Imagine. Of course, I know you don't know what's going on, but I just can't get in my mind. But anyway, that's physically speaking. Spiritually speaking, you know there's people the same way. Boy, that's sad, ain't it? Don't have to be that way. Got to be on guard. That's the reason he said put on the helmet of salvation. Protect that mind. Be careful what you let go in the eye gate and ear gate. I said, be careful what you let go in the eye gate. It's there. You know, it's a funny thing, and I guess it's good to be aware of this and know this and understand it, and you all do, I'm sure, just share it with you. But, and you all know I fool with fiddles a lot, and I like to fool with that. It's just a hobby of mine. I love doing it. But it's a funny thing. Brother Thurman, you can be on the internet looking at fiddles, and first thing you know, there's a naked woman. How could that be? Maybe not naked, but a sexually improper photo, or what? I'll say that. How could it be that, Brother Lord? How could it be? This is kind of in your area. How could it be that in order to have clean teeth or white teeth or pretty teeth or whatever, a woman has to come out of a tube of toothpaste. Get where I'm coming from, don't you? It's there. It's there for one purpose. To alter our thinking and corrupt our thinking and corrupt our minds. It's everywhere. It's more today than it's ever been. That ought to give us more of an incentive to protect our mind more. Let me leave this with you. In spite of all that and everything, I just thought about this, and I'll read this verse two of Scripture to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it nevertheless, in the case here this morning, we could say in spite of all this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Hey, Brother Lowell, it's sure. It's steadfast. And it goes on to say that having this seal, I know we may read across that sometimes and maybe don't pay a lot of attention to it, but we need to back up. It's very important that he's put his seal on it. You know what that means? Signed, sealed, and delivered. You could put it this way. It's finished. It's done. Having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. It's an encouragement and a solace to me to know, even though Brother Lowell and not encouraging it or not knowing in no way justifying anything, because we are, like I said, we are like we are. But in the end, Brother Lowell, he's taking care of it. That's the reason he told Peter, he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. You see, he already knew all these things were going to take place. He knew he was going to be tempted. He knew those pictures were going to be there. He knew all that. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says, we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I say these things to say this. All of those are to be an encouragement to us to keep our mind straight, to not be drunk or in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't you agree with that? Don't you agree that we're living in the times, I think today, more than ever has been before in the history of time? You know, I thought about back in the Dark Ages and those martyrs, Brother Lowell, was burned at the stakes and tarred and feathered. A lot of things that peoples went through down through the years for the cause of Christ. But never before, I don't believe, has ever been a time when the mind of the believer has been under assault like it is today. We better watch our minds. We better put on the helmet. If you don't, there's a danger of getting crossed up, getting messed up. Let's pray this morning for service. Thank you.